All right. Yo, yo, yo. I am back for more after a sabbatical and a hiatus. Life gets nuts. It was hard to commit to this on a daily time frame, but at any rate, it's Friday, April 15th, 2022, and I've had some thoughts, and I just want to throw them out there as a smattering, if you will. As always, these are just theories. These are just dots connecting. This is deep down the rabbit hole. And it's just the things that I see that are deep down in my brain somewhere. I want to connect some dots about what was going on before the flood in Genesis 6. And the warning Christ gave us about the end days being as in the days of Noah. And what's going on right now. So, as I'm motivated to do this, I'm just going to throw it out there. So, what we had pre-flood was a bunch of sin. And the Bible's really vague. If you're skeptical about the Bible or you want to dive into the Bible, one thing to keep in mind is that they wrote, the writers who wrote the Bible, wrote things that were going on that everybody knew about. So a curious verse is when Moses writes about Noah in Genesis 6, which is the chapter before the flood, that all flesh became corrupted. So your average Christian is like, oh, see, it's them sinning homosexuals. They should have killed the dinosaurs. It's just people look at it with a religious lens. They don't look at it with like a cultural, historical, like semi-intellectual acumen. So what I see when I read that, we're going to start in Genesis 6. And I'm just going to do all this from memory. So Genesis 6 verse 4, and I'm going to paraphrase. I might get it exact even, but it says, "The sons of God saw that the daughters of men..." Pause for effect. Two subjects there. The sons of God saw that the daughters of men. Okay, so two distinct classes in the first sentence in a verse that has a lot of debate. The sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair, so they took to themselves, or they took to them as wives all whom they chose. And giants were born unto them, or giants were born to them. Okay, so you have this phrase, the sons of God. I think in the Hebrew it's the Bnecha Elohim. It's literally a class of beings. So you have God, you have Christ, you have the sons of God, which I think Psalm 84 calls the divine council. Look it up. If I'm wrong on the psalm verse, just look up divine counsel in the psalms and you'll find it. It says that the gods, in the literal Hebrew, it says the gods sit in the council with God. So these are like lesser gods, lesser deities. They're the sons of God. It's a class. It's a caste of beings that aren't angels. Angels are called messengers. So it says this group of sons of God chilling up in heaven or whatever. The Bible also calls them stars. So if you're looking at the stars and you're wondering what they really are, the Bible calls them angelic beings or the sons of God. You got the ones that are fixed like clockwork that do the same thing over and over. But then you got the wandering ones, the ones that don't follow any rules. And, you know, this is kind of a rabbi trail. Pun intended. The Bible also calls or describes Lucifer or Satan, one of the sons of God that fell away and took a third of the stars with him, a third of the angels. So a third of the stars up in the sky don't follow a clockwork, don't follow a rhythm. We call them planets, and they have strange orbits. And then there's strange connections with how the magicians, who had secret knowledge that go all the way back to Daniel in Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon, who knew when and where exactly, based on the constellations, the Messiah would be born. So there's a lot going on here. Secret knowledge, secret societies that were harboring information and keeping it safe. But anyways, back to the main point. So these sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair and came down, took them as wives, and had children, and they were giants. And some Bible translations call that the Nephilim. This is where you get King David fighting Goliath. He was a giant. And the Bible describes how big these individuals were. And then you have all these other pagan cultures like Rome and Greece, whatever. And then even more ancient ones that have myths, quote-unquote, mythologies that gods started their societies, like Romulus and Remus started Rome. Well, I think there's elements of truth in that. There, you can Google search it, but there's the tallest skeleton ever officially discovered was Thrax, I think. He was like 13 feet tall. I might be wrong on the name. But Og of Bashan in the Bible was like 8 or 9 feet tall. He was a giant, a descendant of Rephaim, which goes back to the Nephilim. So if we fast forward into the story right before the flood, God tells us why he spares Noah and his family, at least Noah specifically, and I think Noah's sons. It says because he was pure in his generations. Pure in his generations. You know, let's use our brains and see what that means. Atheists will say, see, God's a racist. He chose this one guy and he genocided everybody else because he's a homophobe. But if you're reading the story and taking in the information as it's being given to you, up until the flood, you had humans, descendants of Adam. Then you had this class of beings called the sons of God come down and take women, human women, daughters of men, underline that quote, the literal delineation of a different subject in a sentence, to me is so clear, and create a bunch of half-breeds. So you got like Hercules running around. You think there isn't any truth to the Herculean story? Seriously? A story that's so archetypal it resonates with every human being? It's an archetype. It's because it's true. It's like mapped into our consciousness, that story. And then that's why the Christ story is so similar. It's because he was a son of God and he was part man. It's the same thing. But what you have, if you... another rabbi trail to hearken back to Genesis 3:15, God says he'll put enmity between thy seed and her seed. So Satan's seed and the seed of woman. So Lucifer, Satan, knew what God's plan was. He was going to have to be part of God becoming man to give us salvation, to give us eternal life. So Satan always mimics God. He doesn't have any original ideas of his own, because from what I can gather, God tried to copy himself because he didn't want to be alone or whatever. He wanted to share his love and share who he was or whatever. If you ever watch the movie Tron, the newest one, it's a great representation of this. God wanted to try to copy himself, and then after, you know, millions or billions or trillions of years, that copy went rogue and said, I don't like the way you're doing things, and it was a mutiny. So God wants to continue to copy himself, so he's doing it with a different process through humans. It's a binary process. He created the limited process of good and evil. So that's our experience. We're here to experience good and evil. It's binary. It could have been three things. It could have been four things. There could have been good, evil, and splack two. You know, there could have been a third system, you know, another dimension or whatever. But it's a binary system that we have to engage in, good and evil. That's what everything boils down to. And learn from that experience so that as God is replicating himself, he's increasing his family, he's offering us immortality, to be like him. So if God wants to offer us immortality, that means we can never die. That means he can't even destroy us. So the stakes are big. The stakes are huge. The stakes are high in this grand schema of Project Man. So that verse in Genesis 3:15 is Satan taking God's plan and convincing other sons of God to come down and mate with human women, and they were basically immortal. Basically. They could still die, but they had superhuman attributes. They were Herculean. They were super tall, super strong. They lived a long time. And all the wars, and this is cursory knowledge of mine, I haven't mapped this out perfectly, but all the wars Israel went to, eventually, in the cultures around them, still had, you know, it was genocidal, let's be honest about it. And atheists are very astute to point out that God is a racist, because he chose one nation of people that was basically homogenous. There was other groups mixed in, but it was a genetic purity deal. It really was. And this is where some elitist Jews go wrong. Zionist Jews, this is where they go wrong, because they don't have the whole story. It wasn't about, you know, white versus black or the variations of human skin color. It was about humans and non-humans. So God's not racist. God's not, he did have Israel go genocide cultures, but it was because they weren't fully human, in my view. They weren't. They were mixtures. They were half-breeds of humans and, let's for the scientific crowd, let's say aliens. This fits in with the ancient alien stuff. They were mixed breeds, half-breeds, hybrids. So let's go back to Genesis 6, where God says why he spared Noah. It's because he was pure in his generations. He was a human, and only a human. And I think so were his sons, but I'm not so sure about their wives. So then another verse, I think, just ahead of that, or just after that, is it says, all flesh became corrupted. I think these sons of God started boinking and doinking everything that was roaming around on the earth, because they could. This could potentially be where we get all these variations of species. But I do know there is microevolution. Cats produce cats, dogs produce dogs, forever and in infinity. But where did we get dinosaurs? I don't know. That's a question, and that's a deep rabbit hole. There's a lot of lies around dinosaurs and their history and all the proof we have. And a side note for you to look into that is most dinosaur bones, skeletons, come from China. They're made in molds and casts, and they're drawn up by artists. They find a tooth that probably belonged to an ancient pig, and they're like, this is a brontosaurus. And then they have an artist, you know, do a rendition. Then China molds these things up, and they go into universities and museums, and everybody around the world just goes and oohs and ahs over this so-called science. It's a racket. It's a scam. When they first started with this dinosaur stuff, there was billions of dollars on the line for these researchers. They conspired with university heads and the Smithsonian Institute, and there's a lot of trash that went on about this scientific discovery of dinosaurs. Scientists at the time were pushing Darwinism, pushing evolution, literally, verbatim quote, to get us away from the morals of Moses, for people to question the timeline of Moses. This was their motivation. To question the timeline of Moses and the history and the historical accuracy of Moses. It was literally their goal. And they hadn't discovered dinosaurs yet. But they did discover some stuff. Some weird creatures. Yes, they're out there. Do we know exactly what they are? No. The only thing we know is they died. We have their bones. They're fossilized. And that happens in cataclysms. Floods. So anyways, the point of this is that God spared Noah, and then if you think of the story, God chose one of each kind of animal, two by two, or wait, was it two of each kind of animal, a male and a female, put them on an ark,
and then destroyed the planet. Okay, let's think of a sci-fi futuristic scenario where planet Earth is going to die. They can make a movie on this. And there's another planet close by, and we want to go seed that planet, start over. Well, we went crazy with genetic experiments and testing and coronavirus and everyone dying, and these shots ended up killing people, and man, we're all just going to die because this is spreading like wildfire. We would take two of each animal, two of each species of tree. We would take the pure natural stuff that works, go seed that planet, and start over. And we leave all the mistakes behind. That's what this story is. This is the most scientific, fantastical story, if you think about it and take it literally. God was saving this planet from basically an alien invasion that came down and started mixing their DNA with everything. And then we have some curious verses in the New Testament. If you go read the book of Jude in the New Testament, that's the Greek word for Judah. It was a Jewish fellow named Judah. He says, one of the reasons women should cover their heads, their hair, their beauty, their glory, is because of the angels. And he says the angels, which kept not their first estate, are locked up in everlasting chains of darkness. That Greek word for everlasting chains in darkness is Tartarus. Tell me you haven't heard the story of the Olympians, the gods, that are locked in Tartarus, and this Greek mythological story where people are trying to find where Tartarus is. It's translated hell in the Bible. There's three words in the Bible used for hell. This is the only time it's used. It's a place called Tartarus, and it's a literal, like, it's a literal place where God chose to lock up these eternal beings. He had to lock them up, because if they're eternal and immortal, then God can't destroy them. I think, if they are immortal. Jude tells us that in the New Testament, because he doesn't want what happened in Genesis 6 to happen again. And the New Testament writers were well aware of this fact that the sons of God came down, mixed their seeds with humans, and chaos ensued on the planet. And God's only recourse was just to wipe it and start over. So the stakes of this game, this game of life we're living, are high. And we're woefully uneducated as to what's really going on behind the scenes. So we have curious verses about Christ, what Christ said about what the end days will be. He said it'll be as in the days of Noah. People being married and given into marriage. This is sexual talk. And I'm just kind of realizing this now. This is sexual talk. This is seed mixing. This is species mixing. Where humans are doing it in labs. We're doing it with species, chimeras, cross species, hybridization. This coronavirus stuff was all created in a lab in Wuhan. That's all fact now. Alex Jones was saying that 3 months into the coronavirus, and everyone thought he was nuts, and now members of Congress are talking about it, like Jim Jordan. But he's crazy, right? He's nuts. Yeah, he is nuts. He knows too much. People who know too much are nuts. But they're like 99% right. But that's Christ's warning, is that what the end days will be like. It's going to be mass manipulation of the human genome. And even to the point in Revelation where it says that men were seeking death and couldn't find it. So it's almost as if the evil forces of these sons of God that fell, I think there's two classes of this class of beings, the sons of God. There's the ones like Michael the Archangel. Maybe Christ was one of them. But I'm inclined to believe that Christ always existed. He wasn't created. Maybe these other sons of God are the same. Maybe that's why the Mormons say Lucifer and Christ are brothers. I don't know. I got to seek it out. But there's the ones that went evil, and there's the ones that went good. And people like Aleister Crowley, the Satanist, were like summoning these creatures. and being possessed by them by doing blood rituals with babies, human babies. Go look up the Jack Parsons Laboratory, JPL. They later changed it to the Jet Parsons Laboratory. Jack Parsons is who Tony Stark's dad in the Avengers is based on. And I think his initial, I think he was, I think the initials are the same. J.P. Stark, if I'm right. He was so hardcore with doing demonic rituals that he freaked out Aleister Crowley, the Satanist. They went into the desert for like 3 days and did some drugs. I think DMT or LSD or something. And some aliens showed up and it freaked out Aleister Crowley, a Satanist. But Christ's warning is that, as in the days of Noah, there'd be a bunch of sexual, creepy stuff going on. And I could go on and on about conjecture that's deeper and more cursory, but this is what we have here. This is what happened in history. This is what the book tells us. And I think when we read it, we just need to read it for what it says and not use our own biases to surmise what it means. So that's my rant. Take of it what you will.